right, now let's bring this meeting to order. This is the December 6, 2016, Newburyport Conservation Commission meeting in the Senior Community Center Boardroom. This meeting is being recorded. The first item on the agenda, the approval of the meeting minutes of November 15th. Any comments?
I have one correction. On page 2, the first public hearing, Catherine Phelan, 231 Northern Boulevard. The second paragraph, it says a DEP file number has not yet been received. The NOI must be refiled. It should say the NOI must be revised. That's all I have.
Motion to approve as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, next item on the agenda is the old and new business, Whittier Bridge Salt Marsh Monitoring Update from Mary Rimmer.
That's me. So we completed 5 years of monitoring under the bridge. I can't believe that it's been that long already, but you should hopefully have a copy of the report that I did in October. And essentially the small piece of salt marsh that was under the original bridge has really dwindled down to just a few square feet, about 75 square feet or so. It had remained pretty stable up until this past growing season. And whereas the benchmark salt marsh was continued to grow each year and became more robust. So there definitely appears to have been some sort of impact as a result of the bridge removal and the new construction. Was definitely darker underneath there during the day. But it's also true that salt marsh under the original bridge was pretty stressed to start with. It wasn't as robust as the other benchmark salt marsh anyway. And there's not a lot of dense vegetation along the shoreline in front of that marsh, whereas there is at the benchmark site. So the shoreline itself is I think a more active shoreline in that location. There's probably some changes in water circulation from the bridge abutments, the original bridge abutments, from the change in the bridge abutments, the new structure, and also the fact that there was a barge placed right in front of that site for 2 years or something. Whether or not that recovers remains to be seen, but it seems unlikely that it would at this point, that it would rebound very much from where it is. So originally it was sort of two or three little patches of salt marsh that were kind of connected. Now there are about five different just small pieces of it, and it really seems like it's coming apart. Some of the peat has sort of slumped down the slope a little bit, so I think it's sort of breaking up. It could have been ice damage. It could have been, we don't really know exactly why, but there certainly appears to be a change over the last 5 years. So that's really, nuts and bolts of it.
So in your opinion, there could be increased shading or currents changing because of the abutments or the barge being parked there for 2 years.
Right. I mean, that's an area under the old bridge, and the portion of it that was our sort of sample site was in an area that, like I said, it was sort of an isolated little patch of salt marsh. It was disconnected from the rest of the salt marsh that extends to the east. And going to the west, there really isn't anything on that shoreline at all. So this was sort of the western terminus of the salt marsh already. That's the part that sort of fragmented off, it looks like.
What would you say would be possible reasons why the other area of salt marsh further down has been expanding continually?
I think we had really good growing seasons, just really sunny, warm growing seasons, because you see the difference in the, from June, we'd measure it in June and September each year just to see what the seasonal changes were as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, by September, they're definitely the taller plants, more stems, and it really, I think we just had good growing seasons, is what it was.
Okay.
Sun-loving plant.
Yeah.
So when the existing bridge now is a brand new bridge, and actually wasn't, there was nothing over that sample, the small, well, the old bridge was
over. The original little patch of salt marsh was partially under the old bridge.
Right.
Now it's entirely under the new bridge.
Okay.
And so a little bit of our benchmark site is under the new bridge, just a tiny bit of it.
Okay.
So there's
going to be increased shading with the new southbound bridge. There's not going to be any sun coming from the west at all.
Right. Yeah, and there isn't any salt marsh on that side.
Right.
So, at least on the Newburyport side.
Yeah.
So there isn't, you know, so much of an impact. It's more really a more bedrock outcrops on that side and some rocky shoreline. So it's not as conducive to
So if we were to ask them to mitigate the loss of that salt marsh, there really isn't anywhere they could do it. If they...
I think that it's, you know, where it can grow, it's growing.
Yeah.
I think we had good conditions for it, so I'm not sure what the benefit would be of a few hundred square feet of additional planting of salt marsh. It's pretty well established, you know, from that point east, all along that side of the river.
Right.
And that area isn't impacted by the shading, right?
No, that area has demonstrated
more
growth.
Yeah.
Not a lot. It's been pretty consistent, but each year, you know, a few percentage increase.
Right.
And like I said, it could just be that this, you know, the growing season pattern that we're in right now just makes it more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And the barge has been removed, but is there another one?
I think it's just moved down
to the south.
I think so.
To the southbound.
Remember now, yeah. It was there in October anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Further, you know, had been moved at that point.
More to come, maybe.
Hmm?
More to come on the once they get the deck on the new bridge. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see anything they're doing that's particularly destructive in any way?
That was early on in the construction when they were doing more of the site work. There was definitely some erosion on that slope, and they had some erosion control failures. And there's an outfall that discharges right there, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty erosive, so it's kind of that slope and that whole area is, had been reworked quite a bit. So I don't know how much equipment or people walking back and forth on the shoreline there too could have contributed. I didn't see a lot of evidence of trampling, but you wouldn't in between tides anyway, so.
Yeah. But it doesn't sound like there's anything they're doing that they should be
I didn't
doing
see
differently.
Anything, that slope appears to be pretty stable now. They hydroseeded it, put down some geotexile netting and hydroseeded it, and it looks like it's in decent shape, and I'm assuming, I don't know anything about what the drainage improvements have been done in that area, but there it may have addressed some of that outfall scouring that happens right there too.
Okay.
Thanks for your thanks for all your reports and your work.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, thank you, Mary.
All right. Are you going to miss the salt marsh down there? Not going down there every year?
It's a nice walk through most of the time.
Mm-hmm. We've got another year to go, don't we?
Yeah, I think one more season, right?
That was it? That was
or
the
that,
less, I mean, unless
yeah,
you
no,
to do it,
right, because we extended it for one season last year,
yeah.
I think we ought to go for another year. I thought we decided to do that.
Okay.
I think it'd make more sense to wait until the project is done and see whether and to what extent it comes
back. Well, it's supposed to be done next year.
Right, but... what happens in the interim? Are you just saying we should be monitoring in the interim while the project is still going on? Or?
Well, I would think scientifically you should continue it rather than take a year off. Be my thought, but
I'd like to know where this is
think?
Going. I mean, are you saying that we should insist that the state mitigate it because they said they weren't prepared to do that?
Well, yeah, it was either that or we were going to tell them they couldn't build the bridge and we backed off.
Yeah, that was
right.
I'm not
sure where this is going.
Well, in my opinion, we should ask them to mitigate it if it's clearly their fault. Now, where they would be able to do that, I don't know. I was thinking about that today, where they've got their lay down area, where their dock, which is city property, you know, we could ask them to do something there.
There never was salt marsh over there, but
no.
Was there, Mary, where the laydown area is, to the west?
No.
No.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be replacing salt marsh. There's some other, perhaps, mm-hmm. something that they could do to...
Well, we had discussed
rehabbing
that area.
Yeah, they're already doing some mitigation plantings in that area just due to the...
That was part of the permit.
Yeah, they're improving that.
Yeah, they said they would do that.
Buffer.
Because there was some scour out areas, and I think they were going to clean a lot of that up.
Okay, so I...
So my question is, why would we continue with another year to just determine, like, the full extent of the loss in order to make a case for mitigation? Or is it sort of academic? Because I think it's, you know, we need to know why we're spending commission funds on this.
I think it would help to prove that there is some blame on them, unless you think there's enough now to say.
I think, you know, all I can say is that the salt marsh is smaller
right.
than it was before, whether or not, and you would assume that the construction had something to do with it, but it could, like I said, be other contributing factors as well.
Right. I'm not getting the cause and effect out of what Mary is saying. That's my problem with.
You know, I think that it's just an active enough area that it's hard to say if it's entirely due to the bridge. I think that there's reasonable. I don't know, you can make an educated guess, but I don't think we've scientifically proven that,
yeah.
So. Yeah.
I don't know, I think if we're going to ask them to do something, we either need to ask them now with the evidence we have, or, you know, if at this time next year that bit of salt marsh is completely gone,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
But why not look at it this time next year? What's the purpose of looking at it in stages over the next construction phase?
Well, we only talk to it twice a year, June and September, so it's not...
Well, I'm just, as I say, I'm not sure where this is going or what the point of it is.
I guess the fact that there's nothing further west on there.
No, you would just
know.
Be tacking it on to the existing salt marsh, I think is...
But don't
if
we
you did
get,
mitigation, you just add it to something that's already
But
there.
Don't we get the information we need by simply looking at it in a year, or whenever the project is, and then seeing what the salt marsh looks like then compared to what it looked like at the beginning?
I mean, like go out there one more time next September?
Whenever the construction is complete, yeah.
Well, certainly the deck would be done by next September.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the vast majority of whatever shading is going to happen is going
to... Yeah, but
that's
work.
Well, I think all the work that we'll have to do with shading is complete, unless they have to add on a bike lane. Is that going to be...
No,
that's already there.
That's going to be
done.
There, yeah.
So there shouldn't be any...
Well, but there's also... apart from the shading, there's also the abutment work, the road,
right.
all that stuff that mm-hmm. can affect the erosion and the hills.
Yeah.
The drainage in the hillside,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
which is could be just as significant, if not more so, than the shade.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't. I mean, in the regular course of construction, I mean, they're going to hit a point where they're going to be complete, and
right.
we'd have a last inspection, and we'd see how
yeah.
it shapes up.
Could do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
we know where it is
Makes
now.
Sense.
We know how it's been
yeah.
progressing, and we'll see then what's changed and.
Yeah,
so
once
we do that, do another inspection and map it one final time before your certificate of compliance or whatever you have to.
It's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah, that's while the order's still open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might remind them too that there sounds like there's some additional work that they got to do by. Whatever.
Yes. Yeah, we've gone through that with them actually. Yeah.
The additional work being
along their staging area.
Oh, the western
the,
the
yeah.
western side mitigation.
Yeah.
Have you been providing them with the reports?
I have not been, actually. Yeah.
That would be smart to do.
I'll send them the reports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they were, when they initially started this, they were bound and determined that there would be absolutely no effect
mm-hmm. right.
on that salt marsh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll send this latest report and I'll send all of them, but I'll talk to them about this latest report, just make sure they know that we've discussed it. And that we'll have one more year, or one more.
If nothing else, we could ask them to pay for it.
Please reimburse us for the expense of monitoring, yeah.
Peer review.
I think, you know, I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it's less than 500 square feet with the original salt marsh that was there. It might even be less than 250.
I remember, it was not the most luxuriant salt marsh to begin with.
Well, what about finding an offsite for mitigation, where there was some hope that we could actually do something effective? It's not a DEP issue, so we don't have to get into that.
No, that's why I was suggesting that there were land areas.
But that's already
705 square feet.
It's down to 63.
Okay, wow.
705 to 63?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty significant.
It's 705 the first year, 549 the second year, then it went back up to 702 the third year, and 820 last year. So it was sort of, you know,
it
dropped to 63.
Yeah. Wow.
Hmm. So that would indicate that the conditions were good for its growth throughout most of the construction period, only until this past year.
Right, and when you compare it with the benchmark that actually continued to grow each year, there's definitely there's a disparity there. This one was
significant.
It was experiencing some additional stress.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you. So, want to do a little amendment to your contract for one more?
Sure. Another season, or just do one when you're ready to?
Yeah, one at the end of the project, like post-construction, prior to certificate of compliance.
Okay.
That'd be great. What do you think?
I mean, well, I would think we ought to say, like, next September, because at that point, at the same time.
Okay.
The deck will be
finished
for probably the entire growing season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. September 2017.
Yeah, I don't think that the southbound deck has any bearing on it.
Yeah, but just in case.
But the abutment work and
the abutment work could.
South side slope work could.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that should be done by then.
Oh, yeah. The abutment work should be done pretty soon because they're starting to put steel up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Mary.
All right. Thanks. All right, next item is Jerry Mullins, Little River Trail System. Jerry, you got 5 minutes.
All right, I'll be quick. All right, last year when I came here, we had talked to you about us trying to approach the Recreational Trails Grant Program to create a Little River Trail System. And we had a big packet, and we had the city's grant writer try to help me a lot. We didn't get the grant, but in the process of doing so, a Little River Trail System became a reality, and Park River Clean Water Association has this oversight agreement with the city to keep an eye on that area. Plus, we now have the five trails. We now have, and thanks to Joe, we have a mapped out area, which, if you want to pass this around, is the actual trail systems now. And what we need is, we got a little situation here, which is a great situation. Tropic Star has agreed to pay for a sign behind the new CVS. Essex National Heritage Commission has given us a grant for two more signs, which can be one for Cooper North and one for Crow Lane. And what I would like to do is be able to take what Joe has done here, spiff it up a bit, and put it as part of the sign. And so, really, before we can actually say that this is definitive, we need you to come out and do a site walk and show that there is this is acceptable for you. We've had trails already through summer and fall. People have been very excited about what they've seen. Even the Tropic Star people went out and saw it. They brought their families out. They were so excited. And it's really beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And the only thing is, there is one part of that trail which we had to do to get around Jerry Mayette's private property, which is right in the middle of it, by creating a new Crow Lane trail. But there was no way of avoiding it. We have over a small stretch of wetlands. So I have approached two Boy Scout troops. Both are very excited about it. They're trying to get an Eagle Scout project organized. And of course, we would then they would then design it, and then we would come back before you on it. But we want you to see where this difficulty lies. The Forest Service Technology and Development Program by the federal government has suggested a bog bridge. It's right now, if you do a boardwalk, it's absolutely outrageously expensive. But a bog bridge would basically be white planks over cut logs to give this area of wetlands some way of transporting through. And this is what we would be working on with the Boy Scouts, would be a bog bridge. But I wanted you to come out there and actually see the difficulty and where this problem is. Most of the other trail is great and goes over, and it's just beautiful. Most of it covers over high land. And so that is why I need a sidewalk.
And this is the wet meadow on the Crow Lane.
Yeah, where
the Crow Lane.
Yeah, which trail?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
It's this wet meadow.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I recall there's some water in there.
Yeah.
And
it was just unavoidable. And Joe, Jerry Mayette knew it because his trail, course, would be wonderfully going through his property, which most people still walk their dogs on.
Oh yeah.
But we created this trail because we had to get around his property, but there's no way to avoid this one small stretch.
Well, you're getting around the vernal pools there.
In definitely.
The middle of Crow Lane, because Crow Lane is the property line, and the vernal pools are either on city property or on the roadway.
Okay, this new Crow Lane trail?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's not on Mayette's.
Right. No, this is Mayette's down
here. Yeah, this is Mayette's down here.
And there's also the trail that goes down through Mayette's.
Yeah, well, that's just an existing wood road. I mean, nobody...
Yeah.
All right, so this... I don't understand the connection with Mayette.
Well, Jerry Mayette has this beautiful trail.
Right.
That runs from the Cooper North pasture down to the roadbed.
Right.
And he purchased this property. He put no trespassing signs all around it, and he basically wanted to try to negotiate with the city to basically, I guess, barter a deal to grab some of the pasture land. Well, the mayor sent him packing. So here's this landlocked piece of property which he paid way too much money on, but it's the best way to get down to the rest of my trail system.
Right.
So we created this new trail. It's called the New Crow Lane Trail.
Okay.
That goes around.
Goes around the vernal
and goes through all Oleo Woods property and a little bit of Tropic Stars donated property. So it's all Essex County Greenbelt. And it goes way around, as you can see, the wetlands. But then there's this one area where I just could not avoid it. It has to cross. I tried to get the narrowest part between the two land masses so that the trail would go straight across. And Joe's been there. He's seen it. He's seen immediately the problem. And so we've had like temporary pieces of wood there and some buildup. And I had to ask you now because of the drought, it looked like dry land. So I wanted to wait till this got back to actually being wetlands again, which it has. So you can actually see the actual conditions on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Jerry, do you mind pointing that out to me on this map? Just so I'm not sure if that's right.
See this loop?
Yeah.
It's right where the
see, his land is
where
right
Crow
there.
Is.
Yeah.
New Crow.
And mm-hmm. You come right up here and you would the trail would go right up in through here.
Mm-hmm.
So we had no choice but to build an alternate route.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a massive, beautiful, gorgeous wetlands. I mean vernal pools that we have to get around too.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down and we would loop around. But right here, there's your spot.
Okay.
Which I'm hoping the Boy Scouts will be able to help us out.
And this is all pretty dry through here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just where all the trees are is fairly dry.
Okay.
There's one, this is the older version of the map, because this one has that little, instead of going straight down Crow Lane to the old road bed, this is the one that has a little jog off to the left there that actually goes on Jerry Myatt's property. Mm. Remember this one? We're discussing that little bit. The map I sent you has this going straight.
Yeah, and now it goes straight.
Right.
So,
like I say, I want to get together with Joe when you finally do your site walk and redo this a little bit so it's more accurate.
Yeah, actually, Diane at Planning already has these layers with a different ending on the Crow Lane.
Okay, good.
The real Crow Lane path there. All
right. So you have grant money or money for a kiosk behind the new CVS?
Signs.
Signs. Okay. And somewhere else too?
We have Essex County Green Community, Essex Heritage Conservation. Okay, Essex National Heritage Commission has given a grant for two more signs. And they have asked that it be sent four signs. And so we have one for Cooper North Pasture, which I'm hoping UFP will actually pay for, but if they don't, we'll have enough money to do that.
They kind of told us they'd pay for a sign.
Yeah.
They did on your paperwork, which I have right here.
Yeah,
says
let's
right on there.
Order conditions.
But they didn't. I have approached them. I approached their project manager.
Well, they won't get a certificate of compliance unless that's
right.
Right. And they were going to put a parking area.
Yeah,
too.
That too.
And I showed them that, you know, I would be willing to talk with them. I have not yet received a feedback.
Yeah.
So it's my hope that we'll get a sign out of them.
We will.
But there'll definitely be one paid for by the Essex Heritage Commission for the Crow Lane. And if you want to get a general idea of what these signs look like, I'll show you.
And the one for Crow Lane would go...
These are just drafts, by
the
way.
Yeah, where are you talking about for Crow Lane?
At the end of...
Right at the end of the landfill.
Okay.
That is... there's a dead end there, which we have spiffed up a little bit. And
it still needs to be spiffed up by the owner.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly willing to go out there.
Yeah, I've been out there.
The weather's been so mild lately, it should be
it's
not difficult.
To be cold.
I mean, you want to bundle up, of course. But the water will be there, frozen or not. If you want to get an idea of what a bog bridge looks like, you can pass this around. I was hoping to get some copies, but I've been behind at home.
I have, and I can attest to the fact that they get slippery.
Yes.
So I'm going to suggest that some people have put some sort of wire over the top of them.
Chicken wire.
Chicken wire, or...
They use it all over New Zealand. Chicken wire, all their...
You know, some other way of making it non-slippery, because...
Especially when they're wet, which they usually are.
Yeah, they're wet, and they're usually in a shady area. Mm-hmm. They get moss and stuff growing on them, and... I've had my feet go right out from underneath me.
Regular galvanized chicken wire.
Cool. Okay.
Just staple it down. All right. So we can send around emails and coordinate with you.
Okay.
Julie can send out an email to see who.
Yeah, who wants to go when, unless you want to just do that right now.
If you guys want to do it.
Schedule something right now, or I can send an email around. What
Saturday?
I can't do Saturday, but you guys could all know.
It would be difficult to do it early in the morning or late in the afternoon at this point.
Yeah, no, you're really confused, right?
I may have to go out on my weekends. Are
Saturday doesn't work for me.
Weekends are tough right now. So
yeah,
that's
a problem.
It's a tough time of year.
Yeah.
I know. When do you need to do this? When do you need the answer?
We've got time.
Yeah.
We've got time because other than the fact that the snow will fall eventually
right.
and then it'll cover over the wetlands, other than that, the weather is the only constraint.
And you need the site visit just to get confirmation that the commission is comfortable with the bog bridge in that location, is that?
That, and also we can finalize on this map so that we can actually put this up on the map, up on the sign.
Does the Conservation Commission need to approve the map?
It's not going to exactly look like that. There's going to be some changes. I can send it around to everybody.
Yeah, so. I don't know that we would need a site visit in order for you to finalize the trail map. Unless commissioners.
See, the whole purpose was the sidewalks, to make sure if there's any changes to the trail I have to do. It's too close to wetlands, too close to a vernal pool, or too close to, because there's, the whole area is just wetlands.
There's exemptions for unpaved footpaths in all of the regs.
So.
I mean, clearly you're in the wetlands, so you're too close.
Yeah.
But there won't be any trails out there if we avoid, if we're.
No, right.
I mean, and bog bridges are a pretty standard thing for a way to get through a wet area.
And again, like I say, when the Boy Scouts design this thing, we'll come back to you and get final approval.
So, and actually, that might be, we know that's a wet area. You know, and the reality is, if we go out there and we decide we really can't walk through here because it's crazy, we move it to where we can and we change the sign. Or, you know, or we can redo maps and have them in the kiosk. It's not going to be, you know, people aren't running their GPSs to find these things. So if there's a little change, then I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
I think it's more about the functionality of the trails than it is about the commission approving or disapproving the location based on proximity to a wetland. I mean, like Steve said, you're going through wetlands out there.
Only
as long
through
as
that,
you
one,
do it.
That one stretch. Everyone else
right,
will avoid
but,
it.
But being within the buffer zone is not going to be an issue. There's exemptions for footpaths. And it's, again, it would be in the buffer zone. There really wouldn't be any impacts that I could think of.
Yeah, and where you're going through wetlands themselves, all we do is the best engineering practice type of thing. So if it's about bog bridge, then okay, that's the best that we can do.
Okay. Do you know how deep the water is there at its maximum?
That deep.
Okay.
Okay, so you'd have to have a log that's maybe a foot in diameter,
right.
And then the board's on
top. And there's, after these last huge storms we've had massive trees fall down. Plenty to cut from.
How many feet of bog bridge do you think you're going to have?
Could be as much as 120 feet.
Okay.
Or as little as 60. It depends on what we get out there and see.
That's like pretty long.
That's at least, it's probably going to be close to 200,
mm-hmm.
according to the...
Yeah, the scale.
So, but that's, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, want to have them come up with a design and... Include chicken wire with it.
Okay.
And
chicken wire.
And I'm bringing it in.
Okay.
And if we wanted to go out there, you just park on Hale Street and walk in.
There's five entrances, so.
You can do it there. You can.
Story Ave.
Story Ave too.
Story Ave's a little
you can't
closer.
Get here. For, yeah, you can.
Closest one, the best one for centralized parking, by the way, is Crow Lake.
Yeah, is
yeah.
By the landfill. It's actually not all that far.
You'll have Cooper North. You've got Crow Lane. You've got Randall J. Millen Trail, and you've got...
So if we just go up past the dump, you can
right.
park anywhere there.
Oh, you'll see. There's a little sign there, and you can pull park right in.
We just can't park on top of the dump.
Well, maybe we can. There's a road up there.
There's a road up there, and it's not gated.
It's just going to be...
Lovely views.
It's just going to be a longer walk for you. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right.
Thank
you.
Thanks,
so,
this. Sidewalk, or... No sidewalk?
See, we won't want you.
I'll go out there anytime you want. It doesn't
okay.
have to be on a Saturday.
All right. You have Jerry's email?
Probably not.
Okay. I can send it around.
Okay.
If it is, just let me include it and I'll try to be with you and show you.
Okay.
Thank you
very much
for your time.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The only RDA we have has been withdrawn. So, if I can get a motion to open the public hearings.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So, the first notice of intent is Catherine Phelan, 231 Northern Boulevard. They don't have a number from DEP yet. And
they're not here.
here we have a lot of stuff we ask for them, so I think we need to continue them to the next meeting. Need a motion?
Motion to continue to December 20th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item is Anthony Finari, Department of Public Services, 157 Water Street, notice of intent. You don't look like Anthony Finari.
I'm Bob Rafferty from Nine Mile Partners. We're the city's consultant. So do you want one of these? We're designing the odor control facility for the wastewater treatment facility. Primarily, it's a new biofilter system that's going to sit pretty much on top of the old one. We're going to pull the old one out. We're actually reducing the size of the biofilter by about a third. So it's going from 4,500 square feet to about 3,000 square feet. The current biofilter now has an under drain, and that drains to the sewer and gets treated by the treatment facility. So there's no runoff from it. So there's no pervious cover there. So we're actually reducing the pervious cover. We hope to have construction going by March, and they'll be digging that whole area between the fence line and the tanks right there. They're called the aerobic digesters. And we're putting some yard utilities in and so forth. We hope to be done by September of next year.
So this is going to be in the same location as the other. What's the difference between this and the other one?
Well, the other one is bark mulch.
Yeah.
So it takes up a larger area. Ours is it's sort of like a pumice material. It'll be enclosed in concrete tanks. It's deeper, 6 feet in depth. But where we're digging is exactly, the existing biofilter is 3 feet deep below the ground. We'll go down an extra 2 feet to put some footings in, but we'll stay above groundwater. And it'll sit about 5 feet up instead of 3 feet up.
And as far as, all the discussion about odors and so forth, this is the solution, or is this part of the solution? Or?
It's part of the solution. We're doing some chemical feed systems in the process buildings themselves that'll help next summer. And this is phase two, call it a contract two, and then there's an additional one after this that we'll have to come back in next summer to talk about, but covering some more tanks than we're doing under this phase.
And will we notice a difference in the...
Oh God, I certainly hope so.
Better or a worse difference?
That's a good point. This phase takes care of the primary odor causing, malodorous causing areas, which is where, before it gets to the aeration part and where it falls all the solids through the treatment facility. The next phase will take care of what we call the secondary odor, which is any other place that's not aerated. So we're not covering the aeration basins. That's a healthy thing. Or the secondary clarifiers, which are the big round structures off to the east. There shouldn't be anything coming out of there if the plant's operating correctly. So we'll cover primary and secondary, including some odor control from Plum Island. It's going to should be a very big difference.
So when you cover it, do you pump the gases
mm-hmm.
into this system?
Yes.
Yeah,
so we collect the air from all the different buildings, and we're covering the primary clarifiers, and eventually we'll cover those tanks next to the biofilter, which are the aerobic digesters, and some other areas. But yeah, we're going to pull all the air out of all those spaces where they process sludge, where the wastewater comes in the plant, and we'll run it through the biofilter. And the biofilter will grow bacteria after a month or two and start treating it.
Okay.
So do you have to replace that pumice periodically? Does it
yes,
get clogged? Or
the reason we picked this is they have a 10-year warranty, so they guarantee you for 10 years that you won't have to replace it or it won't reduce in function. The bark mulch system needs to be replaced every couple of years, and it never goes back to the way it was in the beginning.
Okay.
So, the manufacturer guarantees a 90% removal of odors through the biofilter. So,
So, and when you're gonna be removing this old filter, that bark mulch type of stuff, that's gonna be transported off-site somewhere?
Right.
Nice and...
Right, legally disposed of, yes.
And...
Probably at Dagrosaurus or someplace like that, yeah.
And what kind of fill will you, you're gonna be then excavating more soil to get this down deeper?
Yeah, about 2 more feet.
Yeah.
And then we just have to backfill with bank run gravel or crushed stone underneath the footings.
How would this be impacted if it was inundated with flooding and so forth?
Yeah, that's a good point. It won't fill the tank, so we set the elevation of the buildings to avoid flooding. And it'll just come out through openings, the drains and so forth, and just flood out, so.
So it won't enter the biofilter system?
No, that'll be above where it lets out.
So you have that set for the, what year storm? What is it?
It's like the 100-year storm flood zone. It's at 12 feet elevation. It's 3 feet higher than the flood zone area. We have everything, all the drains actually going to what's called the septic holding tank. So if anything did reach the biofilter itself, it would go in a septic holding tank and get pumped to the head end of the plant and get treated. So it won't overflow out.
Okay.
I do have a concern spending so much money on a place that could be flooded. But at the moment, there's no alternative, so.
No. It's kind of stuck where it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
At least this piece will be okay. Floods. It's a piece of the plant.
But we are discussing, resiliency committee is discussing such things. It's kind of high on the list.
Yeah.
Like number 2, after water.
So water and used water.
Yeah.
Water and used water are already two, but number 1. Mm-hmm. 2 top ones.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All right.
Julia, you had mentioned something about the DEP number.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even have it listed on the website.
Yeah, we tried chasing that down today. I have no idea. I've never had that. Yeah.
They tend to be slow in getting the file numbers out, but usually you at least see the project has been registered in, and then they're mm-hmm. just waiting. They're just reviewing it. It'll say under review, and there won't be a file number. But
yeah. We called today and didn't get a response, so
okay.
We'll keep chasing those down.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
so we can't.
Yeah, I realize we can't. I just wanted to get here as early as we can.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of impetus to get the project moving for next summer mm-hmm. before it gets bad. But I understand we have to
mm-hmm.
reconvene.
Just curious, what was the construction cost on this?
Well, we're almost $5 million now.
For this particular aspect?
Well, it's the whole thing. This is 4.2. And we're working hard to make that lower.
Well, so where's all the money? I mean, where? It doesn't sound like this is a very.
I know it doesn't. Doesn't. Yeah. The clarifier covers are $250,000. The biofilter system itself is $1.5 million, between all the concrete and the fans, the blowers, the building, and so forth. Yeah, the covers are aluminum covers. They're hundreds of thousands of dollars. And all the ductwork, we're putting some 48-inch ductwork, stainless steel ductwork out there, and columns and beams, and it adds up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Hope it does better.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
So we need a continuance.
We need
a
continuance. Maybe we'll go to the 20th, right?
Unless DEP's taking a month off.
Yeah.
We'll track them down. Thank you.
Great.
All right, thanks.
Make it a motion.
Motion to continue to December 20th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the next one is Anthony Barbera, 6 Perkins Way, amended order of conditions, but they have requested to continue to the next meeting, right?
Yep.
So?
Motion to close the public hearings.
But let's continue this first.
Oh, okay. Motion to continue.
To November.
December 20th.
December 20th.
So Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now you can do that.
Motion to close the public hearings. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, first item, moving on to enforcement violations, 1782nd Street. Everybody got.
Although, one thing first, at 216 Northern Boulevard, even though they've withdrawn their RDA, the commission just needs to formally vote to lift the enforcement order because they've remedied the fence.
We didn't do that?
I don't think we officially did that. I think you guys approved the new design, but their lawyer wants a, you know, letter noting that there was a vote to lift the enforcement order.
Yeah, I think we didn't do that. We just wanted.
Yeah.
We said it was okay, let's wait until it's done before we lift it.
Right.
Is it done?
It's done, yeah.
You've been updated?
Yeah, I looked at it, you can see right through. Just great.
Okay.
So.
What's the proper wording? Lift the enforcement order?
I think so.
Remove.
Yeah, remove or release the applicant from enforcement.
Motion to remove the enforcement order at 216 Northern Boulevard.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now 1782nd Street. Do we have anything to sign for that, do we?
No. I don't have anything to sign for that.
Okay.
Really need what would you bring, because there's already an enforcement order that suggested that it would either have to be removed or a notice of intent filed. And then you voted at the last meeting to require the notice of intent to be filed by December 6th.
This is for 216?
Oh, I'm sorry, no. I don't think we need to sign anything. I think I'll be able to send a letter stating that the commission voted at this hearing to release them from the enforcement order. And if they, I don't think they need anything other than that. It's just needing a formal vote.
Okay. On 1782nd Street, we've all gotten that email from Mr. Lawrence about wanting, I don't remember the exact wording of it. I am personally sorry for his loss, but of his father, but I don't see a reason to continue it at all. The reality is that if you replace the deck, it would have to go up 5 or 6 or 7 feet. They're not just going to raise that deck up. They're going to take it apart and rebuild a whole new one. So I'm not personally inclined to vote for any kind of extension. I think we should give them a date to have it down by, and maybe give them a couple months to get somebody to come and do it, but you know, maybe by the first February meeting or something, or second February meeting, it's gotta be done, or the fines start, daily fines. We've been going at this long enough, he knew what he was doing, it's obvious. I had a talk with Gary Calderwood a week and a half ago. Happened to sit down next to him at a restaurant for breakfast, and talked with him about it, and he said no such thing to him. Not that it's all that relevant, but so, you know, he filed an RDA for a deck before. He couldn't build it for whatever reason. And then FEMA put out their maps, and now a deck has to go up. You know, there it's 7 feet off the ground because of the flood elevation.
Do we know that it was constructed after the, almost doesn't matter, but.
Yes.
It was, okay.
Yeah, the photo show was
okay.
Constructed after, because they released those maps in 2012, I think.
Yeah.
And that shows up in the 2013, 2014 photos. So it was, that's when it was built. pull them to digging it down. Any discussion?
Is the alternative would be to ask them for an NOI to raise it up 7 feet?
We have asked him one. We gave him until tonight to give us one.
Right.
And he's said he couldn't do it for whatever reasons. And I don't personally want this to continue. He did it. He knew what he was doing. That's my stand on this. Is that?
Does he need to file anything with us to tear it down?
No. It would be him returning the site to its pre-existing condition because of a violation. So no. I mean, you could say that please. The commission's decision is to request that the owner return the site to its pre-existing conditions because of the violation of construction of the deck without a permit. In addition, the deck would not be compliant in its existing configuration anyway due to the flood zone. That's just another reason why in the flood elevation.
Yeah, well, perhaps we could say that in this letter that because the current deck would not meet standards, and because you have not filed a notice for correcting the whole situation by this meeting, December 6th, that we request that it be removed by February, March, whatever. And then if he really wants to come in with a notice of intent to build a new one while he's demolishing the old one, that's his prerogative.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll just, divorce the two.
Well, yeah, we can do that too. And reality is it would take two guys a day to take that down.
Especially since it's not attached. That's actually a patio. It should be very easy.
And the weather's been very mild.
You could probably just lift it up and carry it.
So in terms of a time frame, 30 days?
I think we should, based on the reasons that he had stated in his letter requesting an extension, I would prefer to extend him a little more than 30 days.
Yeah, and especially with it's Christmas right in the middle.
I don't think.
Yeah, I would say 60 days.
I think that's, at a minimum, I think that's.
How about February 1st?
Whatever our first meeting is in February.
For our first meeting in February.
First meeting in February will be the 7th.
That's a good time frame.
Okay, that's essentially 2 months.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I'm so close to getting.
And so it's the just to be clear, and I think we need to make it clear to Mr. Lawrence that a post facto NOI will not under there's no way in which this current structure would be approved by this commission in a post facto NOI. So the NOI would be for something entirely different from what currently exists.
Mm-hmm.
So what exists
mm-hmm.
now will have to come down no matter what the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it would have to come down anyways. The cost of detaching it from the house and just raising it straight up, it's not going to happen. They're not going to do it that way.
Well, you couldn't really. I mean, you can't just have the deck up.
No.
Well, with enough money,
you could
do it, but attached to the house. But it's not going to happen. It'd be a lot more expensive than tearing it down and building a new one.
And should we mention that if he fails to do this by February 6th, he starts incurring a daily fine? If that's what we want.
Yes.
Of what?
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking if we started at $50 a day and went up every week, $50 or?
The first week,
$50 a day. Because it's gonna.
Well, I think we can only go to $100 a day, can't we?
$300.
$300.
Per infraction.
Okay.
So.
$100 a day thereafter? $50 per day for the first week and $100 per day?
Yeah. I'll give him kind of a week leeway, but if he didn't want to get on with it, because really, it's going to take a day to be able to take it down. And we should probably say that he needs to dispose of the materials properly.
And then should we take them down by hand?
Yes, yeah. Because it's heavily vegetated with beach grass out there.
Mm-hmm.
Removed from the island. All deck materials removed from the island.
I'm sure you will reuse part of that to rebuild the stairs.
Mm-hmm. All right, whatever is
coming out of the back door.
Yeah.
That's his prerogative.
Mm-hmm. I'll put all demolished deck materials.
And if he does choose to decide to rebuild the deck with an NOI, meeting current regulations, it's outside of our jurisdiction as to whether he builds it on his property or somebody else's.
Yeah. No, understood, but at least he's going to have to provide me with, you know, lot lines, and so
yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I'm fine with all of this, except I would start at $100 a day, quite frankly. I don't see any reason to, you know.
That's fine.
We don't want him to get to that point where we have to fine him, so, right.
I think we're less likely to get to that point if the initial fine is a higher number.
That's what I mean. This should be it.
I'm fine with whatever, too. $100 a day.
We'll get my attention.
Yeah. If you're worried about...
It's certainly ample.
Well, particularly since a couple $100 is all it's going to cost to probably get this thing demolished.
Well, right. Given the cost of lumber today, I mean, you might find someone who'd be willing to come and sell
exactly.
The part
exactly.
in exchange for
use
material.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would. Mm-hmm. You would likely find someone to do it for no money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of shape the lumber is in.
It seems fairly good condition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not that old.
Yeah.
It's only 3 years old.
So, all right, so I think we need to, you know, is that it for this?
Yeah. Do we need to vote on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that will be the enforcement?
Yeah. So I guess that would be the enforcement order is already out there. That would just be the response to non-compliance.
Right.
Okay. The enforcement order.
Yeah. I think maybe a motion to...
Yeah.
Julia,
yeah.
Put together this letter and send him in response to his not showing up with a plan.
It's not compliance.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. And last but not least, 7 Harbor Street. And the enforcement or violation of 7 Harbor Street because they built a bulkhead in front of the nice brand new bulkhead in front of those nice brand new
Corvettes,
yeah. And all
speaking
that
of excess lumber.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised.
That was
walking.
A pretty substantial looking wall.
Yes, it is. It is very substantial looking. I gave it a double take because I look for that one. Actually, I look for the guy who had all the gabion baskets.
Oh, the rocks.
Right, right.
All these rocks are sitting there. And, yeah. And after I look at that, I look to the right a little bit and I'm like, wow, that's quite a wall you've got there. I don't remember approving that.
Wow.
And the bag, well, it does protect the bags.
Yeah. So I sent an email to, actually, I think I called and sent an email, or and sent an email to two different addresses that we had listed as contacts. Brad Kutcher, was it Brad Kutcher?
Sounds familiar.
Maybe it wasn't Brad, anyway. And have not heard back at all.
When did the emails go out?
The week before last.
Huh?
Yeah.
Was there a phone number in the filing that they had previously?
Yeah, they had provided I have a permit compliance contact sheet that I require before they can start work. They have to give me who's in charge of the project and how to get in touch with them. And it was also the same as the applicant. So actually, I wasn't able to get through on the phone, so I can try calling them back. But that was the only contact listed. So my guess is that he sold the property and just doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. I'm not sure, though. I could be making that up, but I'll see what I can find out.
Because it was the same people. It's the same folks as put in the...
Was that Netco or Nico?
Yeah, Netco. So, I mean, they went to the trouble of having Netco design this thing.
Yeah.
And
might, you know, get in contact with them. They might know what happened.
Yeah, yeah. I CC'd Netco on it,
oh, okay.
I believe. I sent it. No, I didn't CC. Maybe I didn't CC Netco. Maybe that's my best move is to get them back.
Do they have any liability being the contractor? I mean,
it's really the applicant.
Yeah, because
they may have done the project correctly than the applicant.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, my guess is the applicant did this after the
Netco. Yeah, because Netco would not have done that.
They would not have done
that. They would not have done
that. Some guy named Tony Rinaldi?
Yes, Rinaldi.
Is that the applicant?
Is 7 Harbor Street Development, LLC, was the applicant.
Yep.
And Tony Rinaldi is the second owner.
Still owner.
Shown,
okay.
Oh,
so
there is, in fact, a new owner since then.
But it's an owner too. It's still under, according to the city stuff, it's still under 7 Harbor Street.
Yeah, I think it's Rinaldi. He was the owner before, and he's the person who I emailed.
Well, it's easy enough to...
But you get to the registry.
To check the registry website.
Yeah, yeah. I'll find out. See whether or not they still own it. Okay.
Well, I think we should send them a certified letter of...
Violation.
Okay.
Or an enforcement.
Well, why don't we see who owns the property first?
Yeah.
So send the property owner a certified enforcement order.
Yeah.
Well, whoever it is, whoever owns the property is going to have to take this.
Exactly.
Unless
they've got a problem with the previous owner, then they're going to take that to court. But
this
thing's going to come down.
We have to go against the property owner.
Absolutely.
So the
enforcement order should state that you're requesting immediate removal of the fence.
Yes.
Slash.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.